Amen. Good morning, church. I know she's Pastor Tim's favorite, but can I say hi to Tiny too? Hi, good morning, Tiny. I know you've had a hard few months here, and she's tough, isn't she? Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see you. And today, I am using Pastor Scott's battery pack, so if I sound extra intelligent, that's why. Okay? I just elevated myself way up there, so thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much. Have you ever wished that you could get something back and do it over again? You know, it just didn't go right the moment that you had the moment, and you wished at that moment, you knew you failed, you knew it didn't go the right way, and you just wished to, and prayed hard and God to give you an extra shot at something. For years we used to go to this place called the Brakes Interstate Park in Kentucky. It's down where the mountains break down that way. And so we would go there, and it was a Southern Gospel. Anybody like Southern Gospel music? Some of you might. We would go there all the time, me and a bunch of guys from our church and a lot from our church. It would be over Labor Day weekend, so it would be Friday through Monday. And we would stay and have a great time, and they would sing, and we would sit out in this outdoor amphitheater, Johnny, that was just, it was beautiful. As long as the weather was good, it seemed like that weekend it hardly ever rained. And we would sit out there, and they would sing all day long, and they had food, and it was a great worship time. There was one year in particular, at this very moment, during the singing, somebody was singing, I think I remember who it was, but it probably doesn't matter, Katie, because at that moment, have you ever been in such a presence of the Lord that you just kind of forgot where you were? It didn't really matter who was around. It didn't really matter what time it was or what was happening. And I was filling up. I mean, it was not a slow fill either. It was starting to go, and I was feeling it all the way up here, and it was starting to get into my arms. And there was this desire to get up and wave my arms and just praise God. Would that be all right if somebody did that? Would that be okay? You hear what Doug was saying, right? And I sat there, and I started talking myself out of it. In a Christian environment, talking about not praising God. So then I started having this debate, thinking, well, you know, you're going to look like a fanatic and nobody else around you here is doing it. And it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. What's the matter with you? And, you know, this song really isn't that good. Didn't matter what was going on with the song. It was that the Lord was coming on the scene at that moment. Anybody experienced that? Amen? And so I sat there and talked myself out of it. And as I sat longer and shrank down more, the more depressed and defeated I felt until it was all over with. And then they sang on, and I really don't know what happened. And we went back a couple more years, and I never felt that way again. And it bothered me for a long time because I told God, no, basically. I basically allowed that moment when I could have just got up and praised God, and I let it pass for whatever reason. Well, then it made me think of these two verses right here. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. God loves us all, but we know how we were grafted in, right, later because of their rejection of Christ. But it's telling us that it's for all, everyone, anybody who would believe. But notice this next verse. The next verse tells us that it is in the righteousness of God, it is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so what are those two verses telling us? First of all, when you go back to that verse, I'm not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of the gospel. What does that mean? Can I be obnoxious? Can I be annoying? Can I be loud? Can I be whatever I need to be? Or can I just allow it to take over my life in every aspect that I try to live for Christ and let it flow through everything that I do? But then what he says later in 17, it is in it. The righteousness of God is revealed. It is the continuation of the beginning when Christ saves us all the way through to the end that it says back in Habakkuk, he's referring to that the righteous shall live by faith. And so that's today what I want you to understand today where we're coming from is that we are unashamed. Now, what does that mean? I am not ashamed to tell anybody that I'm a farmer. Not by, okay, Stan, where'd you go? The only other farmer you ever knew, right? But I can't grow anything. I'm doing well to grow this thing on my face, okay? I took care of the yard yesterday. We were out raking sticks, and my granddaughter helped me. She picked up the little sticks, right, and I picked up the big sticks. She found acorns. We had a great time. But that was it. Nothing is growing better because I stood on it, okay? But that's my name. I am Cecil and Barbara Farmer's son. I'm my sibling's sibling. I hope they're not ashamed of me either. I'll tell anybody that wants to know. I got my name on my name tag right here. I'm proud of it. Amen? You should be proud of that. I'm proud that I'm part of the Clare Church of the Nazarene. Anybody else? Not ashamed of that. It brings me nothing but joy when someone asks me, where do you go to church? And I take a deep breath and I can't wait to tell them. And the best thing is I've never heard ever anyone say, oh, you go over there. They get all with that, whatever that face is right there, right? No. Yeah, I go over there. And if you did, you'd stop looking like that. How about an amen there? Amen? But there's not a problem with the things in my life that I get to say. I'm Lakeland's papa, right? I'm Cheryl's husband. I'm my kid's dad. I don't care to tell anybody the things in my life because I am not ashamed of any of those things. Well, then when it comes to being a child of God, especially in this environment and this culture that you and I live in today, I think it's really very important. I'm not going to say high time. I'm not going to sound like that guy. But I want you to understand how powerful it is for us to live an unashamed life for Jesus. Powerful. It'll cure a lot of things. Here is one of our translations for these verses, because this takes us down a different road. The New Living says, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ, which the good news is the gospel. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. It's accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith a righteous person has life. What's the difference in those two within the ESV and NLT? I love how he says it here that it is the good news about Christ. We have good news to tell. You ever see the Cheerios commercial? The dude's running around telling everybody how far down his A1C went because he ate Cheerios or his cholesterol. Yeah. Anybody on a statin? What kind of service is this dude doing this morning, right? I am. I forget where I'm at sometimes, you know. I'd like to get off those things. But we know you got good news. Hey, my property taxes just went down. Hey, my car started this morning. Hey, my furnace works. I don't know why I still need a furnace in May, but it works. Amen? Here we are, and here's where we're living, and these are great things, and this is good news. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus saved my soul. Woohoo! I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within me. I am not perfect, but thank God I am forgiven. Jesus is not my reminder of the bad things I've done, but he is my redeemer. Amen? And so it says it's the good news. It's the power of God. Notice those two words there, at work, still moving, not dormant. And then he says, because it's accomplished from start to finish by faith. There's our situation that we live in every day by faith. We don't know what's about to happen. We're already here in church this morning. You look beautiful. You're having a great day. I pray a wonderful week that you have. But we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the phone calls we'll get. We don't know the things that will come along the way. And that's why I'm not ashamed to tell people I trust Jesus, because no matter what, I know he'll take care of me. Amen? So we see in our articles of faith, we have how many? There's always somebody, Doc, thank you very much, 16. You will not get into heaven quicker with that info, but it's wonderful. But I bring this one up because I love to remind us, yes, we do have things that we lay our faith on as a church in the Church of Nazarene, and I love number 11. Now, this, bear with me here. We believe in the church. Do you believe in the church? It's the community that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. The covenant people of God made new in Christ. You are made new. You're not what you used to be. Amen? The body of Christ called together by the Holy Spirit through the Word. So there's our power that we just mentioned in Romans 1. We make this statement and we believe that as we're called together to go make a difference. I read this to you. There's a little bit more because I want you to see the action that's in it. Not the, well, just sitting around kind of hoping the clouds will part someday. Well, I hope that, you know, Tim will just get his act together, you know, and start doing something, right, Robin? I pray that, no, I'm kidding, man, that maybe something along the way will pop. No, there is action in God's people when we're together. This is the best time. I'm so excited my voice just cracked. This is the best time that I have all week when I get to be with you guys. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, hey, good, thanks for being here. Do that. Otherwise, you'd be pretty lonely. You'll be sitting here by yourself. So he says, this is the community that confesses Jesus as Lord, not ashamed. This is the community that tells everyone that they come in contact with in some way, shape, or form, hey, I know Jesus and I want you to know him as well. Then he says, then we go on in our statement, God calls the church to express its life in the unity and fellowship of the Spirit. You know how we let people know that we are part of God's church is that we get along. We love each other. We live in unity, in worship. We're doing it right now through preaching of the word, observance of the sacraments. I love, how many baptisms have we had in the last little bit? A lot, right? A whole lot. Isn't that good? That's the we take communion together. We show our unity in the body together. That's a good time, amen? Observance of the sacraments, ministry in his name, by obedience to Christ, holy living, mutual accountability. Here's the last paragraph. The mission of the church in the world is to share redemptive and reconciling ministry of Christ in the power of the Spirit. Back to what Paul said in Romans 1. But we are reconciling or letting people know that there is a Redeemer who loves them and wants them to have this wonderful, unashamed life. The church fulfills its mission by making disciples through, and here we go, evangelism, education, showing compassion, working for justice, bearing witness to the kingdom of God. Well, that's fantastic. And what does all that mean? It gets us to the point that these main hooks that we've mentioned, it's a community that confesses Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus your Savior this morning? This is the best place to proclaim that. This is probably the safest environment you'll ever be in, Patty, to be able to lift your hand and tell somebody Jesus loves them, hug their neck, give them a high five, whatever they're doing, but to say that we love Jesus right here. Then the last five things that we see there, that's the church in action. Again, I read that saying that we are a bunch of unashamed of Jesus people. We're excited about serving him. Amen? But that's how we do it. We evangelize. We tell people about him. We have classes. We got classes all over. I don't even know. When I started studying this week, I thought, Katie's teaching Romans. That I have no business being in the book of Romans with Katie teaching it this week, right? But in the things that we have in classes, there's a lot you can learn. Compassion, work for justice, bearing witness to the kingdom of God. There's an awful lot that we go through here in those last five ways. And so here we sit. So what does that mean? We are a family of faith. Irresistibly. Look at that word, irresistible. I'm not irresistible. Never have been. Just trying to be kind, right? But I want to make being a Christian look desirable. Let me see you smile. You smile all the time, but let me see it. See, I don't know what they talk about. They say it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. I'm not going to tell you to frown any this week because you'll probably be walking a lonely life. But it does. You know how much better you look when you smile? I look at my wife's face. We used to do this with my mother when I was at home. But if, what's the old saying? You ever heard it? If mama ain't happy, finish that with me. Now, you guys must have met my mother. It's the truth. You know why? I look at her, and she's smiling, and she's smiling right now. I'm just looking at her right now. She's like, look the other way, right, to make sure we're okay. I want to make Jesus smile, don't you? I want him to put my coloring page on his refrigerator. I want him to be proud of me. I want him to look down and say, sometimes I wonder about him, but I do know he loves me. And I do know he's got a heart that just wants to see other people come to Christ. Amen? And so what happens in that? Why should I have to live like this? Why are we talking about all this stuff about being unashamed and proclaiming the gospel and moving around with all this stuff? Well, I'll tell you why. Number one, when we live unashamed, it changes the culture. Suddenly, you ever see a happy person walk in the room, David? David comes in. He's bringing Dee her lunch during the week. Dee perks right up, not because she's got food coming, and I can smell it all the way down the hall sometimes, but her man is bringing her lunch, amen? And he's taking care of her, and she's happy, and they're happy, and I love that. I dearly love that. But here's our thing with Christ. Am I bringing to him things that make him happy when he sees me coming? How about my attitude? How about when I talk when no one else is around? How about how I proclaim this word? I'm standing here today telling you should live unashamed. And there should be times during this week that when I enter into situations that it should make it better. Amen? We should cheer the place up. Now, it doesn't mean you're always going to hear stuff that you like. It doesn't always mean every room you walk in is bad, but it does mean that when one of God's people shows up, the mood should change. Amen? Well, what kind of scripture have you got to prove that it changes the culture? Matthew 24, the end time checklist chapter. He says, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Jesus is talking about the last days as they lead into his return. That's right off the headlines this morning, church. Did you see that? Many are falling away and betraying. But in that last part in verse 12, it says, because lawlessness is increased. I don't know of a time in my short life that I have seen it that people think they can just do whatever they want. Amen? And it's concerning. And it's been concerning. And so when God's people show up, here's what we have to deal with. Because so many people think they can just do what they want, it's because we just don't care about our brother anymore. We don't care about our sister anymore. Because it's all about us. The unashamed of Christ's life is not just thinking about themselves. We're thinking about others. And this culture that is grown cold with love, love and care for each other is so rare anymore. Sometimes you see somebody coming along and they want to know how they can help and you just think they're nosing in on your business. That's how we've been so frayed sometimes. It's taken a division between humanity to think, well, you could help me, but you're going to go tell everybody what you did and make me look like a small person. That's not what we're talking about, amen? Jesus is saying, because lawlessness has increased, there's no love, there's no compassion, it's not around, except when a child of God shows up. How can I help? Don't you love Chick-fil-A? I think the last time I preached, I talked about Chick-fil-A. I must be hungry or something, I don't know. But I love when they show up and they go, how can I help? I'm like, oh, you better have some chickens ready back there. That's all I'm saying, right? And then they always say, when you say thank you, they say, you ever been there? What do they say? My pleasure. And they smile. And you're like, I don't know what's going on with you, but I like it. And that should be the way we are. Oh, Brian, you don't know, I'm in a bad mood sometimes. So am I. But it's not your fault. Johnny, if I'm having a bad day and you come up on me and I let you have it, and you had nothing to do with it, you're probably not going to come around me many more times anymore. Amen? But here's where I need to come into play to change the culture. An unashamed Christian is going to look up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing today? Shake their hand. Not get in your 2 foot of space, but at least make sure you understand that I care about you and where you're at and what I can do for you. Amen? Because I'm not ashamed. Here's the second thing that it does. It'll sharpen your discernment when you're unashamed. It sharpens your ability to see what's going on. I don't always read. I try to read the room. I try to discuss. I try to listen better when I'm talking with folks, because if I'm just listening to talk, that's not going to work, right? But if I'm listening to try to help, the only way I can do that is when I slow down and just try to see what the room is like or see what's happening. Well, in this environment, in our world today, it'll sharpen our discernment. This is a verse I've been promising Cheryl for 100 years. I'm going to write a book on this verse and see what it says. Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command. In 1 Chronicles, in this chapter, Saul and his sons have all passed away. And David's officially anointed king about 15 years after he was anointed by Samuel in his home as a child. And he takes over Jerusalem earlier in the book. And then he begins to build his army. Israel and even some of the former Philistines are coming to his aid. And they're banding together to turn the kingdom over to him. So there's a lot of change happening. He's finally going to be king. And he's assembling his group to go out and build an army and build the kingdom. And so of all of the people that are in this, when you read in this chapter from about verse 24 down to 37, you'll see all these of this tribe, this many people, and what their attributes were. Of this tribe, this many people. These dudes only have about 200. There's 200 chiefs, their kinsmen, which we don't know how many, but it's the smallest number that's mentioned. But look at their attributes that they have. It doesn't say that they're big, burly guys. It doesn't say that they sing like birds. It doesn't say that they're schooled with using tools. It says that they understand the time and knew what Israel should do. That's important, knowing what to do. We rely on so many people to give us good advice and tell us what to do. What does that have to do with being unashamed? In my mind today, church, I think that knowing when we're unashamed, God will let us know. When we live openly, when we don't hide, when we don't shrink, I think God helps us to understand and to know exactly what we should do. Our discernment opens up in our boldness. Our discernment lets me know, you know what? Right about now, I'd like to maybe say something to make them laugh, but I don't think they feel like laughing right now. Right about now, I'd like to listen a little bit more, but you know what? As we've been talking, maybe we just need to pray at this moment. You know, right about now, I'd like to just tell them that they need to suck it up and stop being that way, but I don't think that's the situation right now. I think they need somebody to care for them and really be kind. Your discernment. Listen, that's the area I pray for harder and harder, even the older I get. Because sometimes the older you get, you think you know more. Amen? And you do sometimes. But in my discernment, and in this verse always gets my attention. These were the guys that were in the middle. Every army has to have a strategy. And every church has got to have people that are discerning, God, what's next? God, what do you want us to do next? And in the boldness of living for God, we can get that word from Him. Amen? That's where we sit. Our home has suddenly been empty nested for the last, I forget how many months. Anybody have any, what's that moment? You look at me and look at my face. Some of you little kids are like, man, I have no clue what that's going to feel like for 100 years. It happens quicker than you think. And then here's me and Granny over here, about 8:30, she's staring at her feet, you know. I'm over there thinking, yeah, the nest is empty now. I'm really in big trouble now. Here we are, no kids. Back to where it was, Mom, just me and you. Yep, you going to bed? I sure am. I'm tired, tired from all this stuff. Life changes quick. Knowing what to do is not always easy, amen? But God, it's good. So if you're living unashamed, if you're proclaiming the gospel, if you're living it out in the open, I'm going to tell you this much. I could say guarantee, but I promise you, God will help you know what's next, and He'll talk to you because He's that good, amen? And here's the last thing, because we're under spiritual warfare. I don't have to tell you that our enemy, Satan, is on the prowl night and day, day and night. Amen? You can see him everywhere. Ephesians 6:12 tells us very plainly, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not about, do you like me or not? Are you on my side? We're not fighting people. We're not fighting our neighbors. We're not fighting situations or policies or things like that. It's just spiritual warfare. There is a force, and his name is Satan, and he's been mad for a long time. You with me? He's been mad since the Garden of Eden. He's been mad since he lost his fight in heaven against God and was kicked out as the greatest angel that God had. He's been mad for a long time, and he's our enemy. It's not people. He loves to drive a wedge between us and make us shrink back and hide and not act like we know who Jesus is. But that's not the fight. Our fight's against Satan, against authorities, cosmic powers, over present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in high places. It's not about, do you agree with my theology or not? You know, it's not about what side of the aisle you sit. It's not about, are you Ford or Chevy or Dodge? You know, although those can be important at times. It's not about that. It's about, hey, are you a child of God? Are you with me on this thing? Are we rowing in the same direction? Amen? I'm thankful to be in a room full of people this morning that I know that I know that we're going to have things that make us unique. But our one enemy is Satan, and we're going after him. See, I don't see anywhere in here, Fred, that the church is put on the defense. Yes, we defend the gospel. That's a different set of circumstances. But, Pastor Tim, I believe that we're always on the offense to make the world better. We're out there wherever we go. Hold the door open for somebody. Well, Brian, how do I share my light? how do I make this Ida so out in the open? You know, I don't want to look like somebody in the airport selling flowers. At least they're dedicated. You know what? You can hold the door open for somebody. You look at them and they say, thank you. You say, God bless you. They're like, I didn't sneeze. I don't care. God bless you. Hey, how you doing today? How can I pray for you? You ever just looked at somebody, and before you part company, what can I pray for you about today? That makes a difference. I didn't throw a blanket over them and try to put them in my trunk. You know, I didn't make it a bad scene. I just said, I don't know what's going on up in here, but I want to try to help with the love of Jesus in my heart. Amen? Here's some of my favorite verses. We're going to close here in just a second. Because living by faith takes boldness that only God can give us. If it's up to me, you know, I'd just be a nice guy standing over here in the corner. But being unashamed, like Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of this good news, of this gospel. Being unashamed is the only way to walk and make a difference in anything that we do. These verses here in Hebrews. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. What's the writer saying? Don't throw your don't shrink back. Don't go the other direction from confidence in those moments when you need to be bold. Don't throw it away. Don't worry about how you look or how you sound. If you're doing it from that heart that wants people to know about Christ, and you want to make a positive difference in what you're doing, and you want to try your best to share the love of Jesus to the whole world, he's like, don't throw it away. It has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. You have need of endurance. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We're in this for the long haul. Amen? If it was a sprint, boy, it'd be a lot quicker, and we could just focus on one thing and be done. This is a lifetime. And God needs us to be faithful every day. And God needs us to share our faith every day. And God needs us to be as bold as we can be every day. And he says it here. And then he closes with these two. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by what? There it is again. But here's two words he puts together. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So the writer's quoting Old Testament scriptures and saying God's speaking to his people. And he's saying, hey, don't worry about it. I'm coming. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep sharing your faith. Keep being kind. Keep helping one another. Keep being me to them. But he says, but if you shrink back, oh, that dog barked. I'm going to go back over here, you know. Oh, that was hotter than I thought it was. Ooh, that got uglier the closer I got to it. That's a little scarier. They're big. They're powerful. Yeah, they are. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he says, if you shrink back, he has no pleasure in you. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. I love that. We are not of those who shrink back. We're not cowering in the corner. We're not, well, I would tell him about Jesus, but he looks like he's not having a great day. I'm not quite sure how it's going to come out of my mouth. I'm not quite sure how to be kind. I'm not quite sure how to do it. So I'm probably just going to sit, and you're going to regret. You got to step out. Who cares what happens? We were knocking on doors one time for our bus route when I was new preacher, been preaching maybe 6 months, and we were in a housing area, and we were knocking on the doors, and this lady opened the door. My brother and another pastor in our church, we were standing there, and the new guy, so they kept making me do all the talking and the knocking, and on my knees, I was like Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he saw the writing on the wall. My knees are knocking, and they said, you got to talk to this lady. Opens the door, and she looked like she was none too happy that we even bothered her on a Saturday, and I said, hello, ma'am, told her where we were from and all that, and she said, that's fine. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad you think it's fine. She's like, but you need to go to my neighbor over here. He's horrible. I'm like, okay, yes, ma'am. The two of them said, go ahead, Brian. We'll wait right over here for you. I'm like, thanks. So they go with me. We knock on the guy's door. We talk to him a little bit. We invite him to church. He engaged in pleasant conversation, didn't promise anything, but it was lovely. We even prayed with him. We walked back over, and I thought, okay, you know, your back is a little straighter. You're walking kind of like George Jefferson back over to the other place. And she looks at me, and I said, hey, I said, we talked to the gentleman over there. It went pretty good. I said, my brother said, yeah, we had a good conversation. I go, yeah, he was nice. Her head reared back. Four extra heads popped out. She said, don't you say he's nice. I was done. That was it, you know. I'm like, ma'am, I'm sorry. He wasn't mean to me. That might be why he's mean to you. I don't know. So as a young kid, it made me think, don't say what you're thinking. You may not make it to Sunday. But we went on. Oh, and you know that kid sitting out in the amphitheater, shrinking back, didn't praise God, begged God for years. God, give me that moment back. I'm so sorry. I wish I'd have jumped up and praised you at that moment. Years later, 2019, NYC, Phoenix, Arizona, we're with a whole bunch of kids from the district. It's concert night. And they started singing. I don't remember the song, but I remember I started feeling it again, Johnny, 100 years later. And God's like, all right, big boy, it's time. I could hear the whistle. The two cowboys were facing each other. Tumbleweed went across the desert. What are you going to do? I sat there for a while, and I listened, and I got up, and I waved my hands, and I praised God. And guess what? I didn't really look around the room to notice that everybody else was doing it too. They were probably doing it before me, but I let it out. And you know what? From that moment on, I promised the Lord. So if you ever see me, whatever's going on, don't worry about it, because I know you're busy worshiping the Lord too. But I could do it in Aldi. I could do it at home. I could do it in this house. I can do it in my car, wherever I'm at, because I don't want anyone to guess where I stand. I don't want anybody to wonder, I wonder where he really stands on this Christianity thing. I wonder, well, does he really serve the Lord, or is he just a lot of this? The great Charles Spurgeon says this, be not ashamed of your faith. Remember, it is the ancient gospel of martyrs, confessors, reformers, saints, and above all, it is the truth of God against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. That's good. The gates of hell cannot prevail. You know why? Because they're not in charge of it. It's not theirs. It's not Satan's. It's his. It's his power. It's his love. It's his devotion that he gives to us. I want to give an invitation here in a second. I want to invite you to stand right now if you would. We're going to play a song as we're waiting. This is a song called God of Revival. There's a line in the second verse of this song, and it always gets me every time I hear it, because he says, why should my heart fear what you've defeated? Why am I afraid of something that God has already got victory for me for? Why would I shrink back, hide in the corner when God's advancing me in my faith every day? But I have to let him. I got to get out of his way. I got to move my feet when he wants to push. Sometimes that advancement feels like he's shoving us out of the boat or out of the nest. Really what he's trying to do is let you fly. And I think it starts in that moment when we have to stop being afraid of what God's already got the power over. He'll give you that. He'll push you into that space. He'll give you those opportunities to share and not be ashamed. Amen. Bow your heads for just a moment, eyes closed. I don't want to linger this too long. I want to just poke right into your heart. If you would raise your hand and say, Brian, you know what? I want God to give me opportunities this week so I can live unashamed and move in my faith. Just pray for me. Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So many hands. People coming to pray. Come and pray if you want to come and pray. God bless you. Anyone else? Because I don't want to live shrinking back. I don't want to go backwards. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Can you reach out and join the hand of the person next to you? Let's just hold tight together and realize this one thing as we pray right now, that we're not alone. That not only do we have the Holy Spirit and God's power, but we've got each other as well. And so let's pray today. Father, we love you this morning. We are so grateful to know that you are our Savior, that you're our guide, and that you take care of everything in our lives. And right now, God, I thank you for each person that's raised their hand. God, I thank you for our church, for the opportunity to have a place to come and worship and serve. And God, today I know there's a dark world that is so cold, that needs to see the warmth and love of an unashamed child of God. And I pray for every person in this room that we would go forth in joy and in peace and in love and serve you, God, to the best of our ability this week. And when it looks like we're going to retreat because it's too big, help us remember that you're not about to shrink back. You're about those that push ahead. And so I pray you would bless each one that's here. Thank you for your word, and thank you for our church. And go with us throughout this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love all of you. Have a good week.